Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Question is, are you glad? Ready? You see, when the scripture says we enter his gates with thanksgiving and with praise, it actually means that, because every time you go to the Lord and you enter with thanksgiving and with praise, until you're in thanksgiving and in praise, you've not entered. Amen? You are in the outer court, or perhaps even outside the temple. Now you enter into the inner court with thanksgiving and with praise. That's when actually now you've arrived. Now that means some people can pray for hours and they have not even arrived. Okay? They are still grumbling, still angry, still what? And he says, enter with thanksgiving. That's the gate. Thanksgiving and praise. Now when you enter with that, then now you can say everything else. But it's the means by which you enter. Praise the Lord. And now, of course, it is something that, depending on what you're going through at that time of your life, it might be a bit of a problem, because you might not feel like it. You might have gone to the Lord to grumble because of reasons ABC. And so you grumble and you're in the outer court. And you see, people don't understand how thanksgiving and praise are like the bottom line, the starting point of everything with the Lord. I want to let you know that, to remind you rather, that the children of Israel came out of Egypt and they made a golden calf and said, behold, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. And God overlooked that. But it is the grumbling which eventually got to him. Imagine he pulled them out, then they put a calf and says, behold this, and then they start worshiping it. And then even when Moses comes down with the Ten Commandments, he sees what is happening, and for him is shocked. Actually, when he was up on the mountain, God told him that, go down quickly. Those people, your people, they have defiled themselves. So he came down and he found that, and he was so shocked, he threw down the tablet which had the Ten Commandments, and it broke into pieces. And God said, you just come back, I'll write it again. Because it was written in the hand of God. Those commandments were actually written in the hand of God. So when he broke it, God said, okay, come back, I'll write it again. And he went and wrote it again. Now, but the grumbling, the persistent grumbling. Now, why did we come out of Egypt? Why did you bring us here? Now, why did what? We should have left us there. Then God says, okay, now I'm tired of these guys. Did you bring us to die in the wilderness? Okay, now you are all going to die in the wilderness. Praise the Lord. Now, until you get to the place of thanksgiving and praise, you have not entered the gate. That's what Psalms 104 is the one. Psalms 100 verse 4 is where that scripture is taken. Now, when you come with thanksgiving and praise, you have now entered. Now you can actually make your petitions to him, and you know, they will be listened to. Praise the Lord. But now that's the important thing here today is that joy. You see, eh? Now I'm going to teach you today how you know that you're under spiritual attack. Because you see, the most powerful attacks of the enemy on the life of a believer are subtle. None of them are outward. Actually, when you see an outward attack, you know that you have victory inside. And you've pushed the devil in that place. He prefers to operate like a virus, which is inside somebody and is growing and growing, and the person doesn't know. You can even be with it for, you know, all this time, and then one day it just shows up and people see its effects later. But it has been there all along. Now that's his preferred mode of attack, not the one which comes out openly. So now you have to know that it is very subtle. It is very subtle, and you can only know it when you know what to look out for. Praise the Lord. Now, the purpose of it, the initial purpose of it, if somebody is in thanksgiving and in praise and is happy and joyful and serving the Lord with pleasure and joy, there is nowhere the devil can get you. He has to first, the first thing he has to take away is the joy. Okay? That's the first thing he has to remove. If he can make you do it, not with joy, just out of ritual or out of what you have to do or, of habit, but there is no joy in it, then now that's the first step. But it's not the only one, but it's the first thing that he targets to try to get you out of that place of joy, that place of being happy, doing what you are doing. And you wake up in the morning and you're happy. And you go and you don't realize that how strong you are. But you see, he says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, when you're just happy, you're strong. Now, he might not mind you praying. What he really minds is you praying and enjoying praying. Now, that's dangerous. If you actually enjoy praying, that's dangerous. Because now you are in a very, very dangerous position as far as he's concerned. He might not mind you doing so many other things, even worshiping and what. But as if you can just, first of all, remove the joy. And you do it. Go and pray. But you say, I have 2 hours or 1 hour to pray. And then start looking at the clock every time. Now, he knows, of course, that's not going to be very as effective as if you go and are looking forward to it. Like the psalmist says, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul pants after you. And says, I long for the moment I come and be before the Lord. Now, that is so dangerous as far as the enemy is concerned. Because you are doing something in joy. And that's true of every other thing. I mean, there are people who do so many things which they have to do, but they don't do it in joy. So it never lasts. And that's he knows that as well. As long as there is no joy, it will not last. You'll do it for a while and get bored. Amen? Yeah. Glory to God. Anyway, so the first thing Paul says in when he's addressing the church and he's leaving, going to Rome, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, he says, Acts chapter 20, verse 24, he says that, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. Not just finish my race, but finish it with joy. Amen? So that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Now, he's saying that the Spirit is speaking in the previous verses expressly that where I'm going there is persecution and chains and all that. But he says none of that bothers me. I just want to finish my race with joy. Now that's very important because imagine somebody who is going through what he went through and he was about to go through even here. And he says, I'm doing it with joy. Now there is no entry point for the enemy. There is none. Because he's supposed to be persecuting you to get you in a certain place, but you're enjoying it. And he's so confused because he has no handle. There's nowhere he can handle and say, now we can start from here. So he says that I may complete my race with joy. Now that's the first purpose of why he comes in swiftly and tries to. Today I even wrote down some things because I want to. This is real teaching today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay? So now the purpose of it, as I've said, is to turn something which you started off happy day into some functional. I have to go to church. I have to pray. I have to, it ceases to be something pleasurable. And then after that, once he can take away the pleasure, then you will not do it. Okay? Now, I've tried so many things in my life, but if I can manage to get the joy or the pleasure out of it, then it is sustainable. Okay? For instance, I go and pay for gym membership, but I'm not enjoying it. I'm suffering. So after 3 days, I say, after all, I'm not the fattest person in the world. Now, there are some people whom I know who go there and actually start enjoying it. And they are actually looking forward to their time there. They are the ones who do it all the way until you meet him. There's one I know, he was like almost 3 times bigger than me, if that's possible. Now, then he got some bit of health scare. Now he went and they told him you have to start working out. Now the guy started enjoying it. Like he enjoyed it. He has lost every weight completely. But he's not doing it to lose weight. Now he's just enjoying it. You understand? Now imagine if the scripture says physical exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable both in this life and that. Now imagine if actually you get to a place where now the things which are expected of a believer, you do them joyfully. And there is nothing in you that feels like it's onerous or burdensome. It's just love. I mean, you just love doing it. Praise the Lord. Now, the first purpose of the enemy is to, in a subtle way, to take away that joy. And you wake up one day and you don't realize that the joy went at some stage. Now, the first attack, number one, and the most important one, is Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people what? Perish. Now, the first thing, let me tell you, you are not alive. The pulse, as far as a believer is concerned, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, the pulse, as far as the walking with God is concerned, is you have to be seeing some things. There has to be some vision. There has to be something you're seeing. Like, if you don't have it, you're dead. You've perished. Because Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He did not say they might hear my voice or they would hear it if they are spiritual. You know, my sheep hear my voice. You have to know that there has to be some way in which you hear his voice. Amen? And then Romans 8:14 says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, if you are not led, you are not. You have no pulse. If you are in a medical thing, they would hold you and you have no pulse. Maybe you are alive, but you're brain dead. But brain dead people have pulse, isn't it? Don't they? Hey, the only difference between them and people who are actually dead is this, isn't it? Hey, is that they have pulse. But if you don't, if you are at a place where you're not hearing, and might not be the most clear hearing, but some kind of hearing, something where, you know, there are all sorts of ways. Now, which he talks about in what? Especially in this end time, the most important thing is that you have to make sure that there is something that God is speaking to you. Okay? There is something that God is speaking to you. Acts 2:17, he mentions it. Shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. For your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Now, I want to let you know that, you know, there is a place I used to go and they say that, and I'll talk about dreams. And they said, dreams are for old men. No, this is just poetry. See, it can be either way for the other way. You understand? Old men can prophesy. Young men can see, dream dreams. It's just saying, this is just, you know, the way they speak in poetry. So, young men, in other words, old people, young men, old men, your sons, daughters shall have some sort of attached spiritual. They shall prophesy, they shall see visions, they shall dream dreams. Dream dreams. Very, very important. It shall come. Now, it has to happen that if you have a pulse here, you have to be at least able to dream or some word, a word which you have, which sometimes the Lord speaks to you through just planting a word in your spirit. Something just lands, sometimes a scripture, sometimes not even a scripture, just something in your spirit. And you know you can get direction from him at any one time. Now, that is in like Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You have to, every time you wake up, you have to ask yourself, what is God leading me to do? I'm not saying like day by day, but it can be over a period of time. You see, eh? Now, he says, and on my maid servants, and on my men servants and maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Now, you may prophesy, you may dream dreams, you may see visions, you may hear premonitions, you may hear a word, but it's all the same. It's all the leading of God. And it is a sign that there is pulse in you. Okay? And that you are alive in all of this. Now, in the absence of this, you are treading on very dangerous ground, by the way. Amen? It also says, and I like this, it's from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 30, we live. It's talking about the age in which we live. And it says that your ears, now this is prophecy about the time, the New Testament time. It says your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Now, of course, you don't, your spiritual ears, but you've been led on things and you know that there's something telling you don't go in that direction or don't do this. And you somehow know that it has been spoken to you, not necessarily to your ears. Now, this is a promise for this time and says, all the children, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, do not do that. Don't do this. Be careful about what you're doing. And you wake up in the morning and somehow you are supposed to do something and you feel like doing it, but you feel, do not do it. Okay? Now, I'll tell you that I've had this before, and every time I disobeyed it, I really hit the wall, sometimes very hard. And I would know that I just disobeyed. The voice was there. There was one day I was going somewhere, and just know, I woke up in the morning, and I felt I'm not supposed to go. But I had told everybody, and the whole thing had been set up, but I felt in my spirit, don't go. But I went. And I regretted. And usually, those things come at a very inconveniencing time when everybody is expecting you to do something. And then you hear the voice and it's clear. And you cannot deny it. By the way, you know deep down that I've disobeyed. You see, you can pretend that you don't hear, but you hear. Yeah? And deep down, you know that I had this voice, but I just decided I'm not going to do it. And so you don't do it. And then eventually, but now you see even the end time prosperity is going to come through this. Because you read ahead and see. It says, verse 22. It says, you will also defile the covering of your images of silver and the ornament of your modeled images of gold. You will throw them away as unclean thing. You will say to them, get away. That means you get cleansed and now start following the Lord. Go ahead. Then it says that, then he will give the rain for your seed, with which you sow the ground, the bread of increase of the earth, it will be fat and plentiful. In that day, your cattle will feed in large pastures. Go to verse 24. Likewise, the oxen and the young donkeys that work the ground will eat cured fodder, which has been winnowed with the shovel and the fan. There will be on every high mountain and on every high hill rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Now, he's saying, that voice eventually will lead to abundance. Okay? Because, and now, if you are trying to do something in this end time, like in business and something like that, and you do not realize that you are going to be guided by the voice of God, then you are going to be in serious trouble. Now, I want to tell you this. The voice of God comes to whomsoever is a child of God. You can deceive yourself that you don't know it, but you know it. Praise the Lord. That's what Jesus said. You know it. You know that something is, you know something is not right. You know you're not supposed to do something. You can feel it. You can sense it. I've told you yet, when I know somebody whom I know, he's the most carnal person I've ever met. He's even more carnal than steak. But one day he was going to buy a steak carnal. But okay, what I'm saying is, this is somebody who is not, but I've told this story before. He's going to buy a piece of land And he likes it. It even has a share of a house, incomplete, and the price is very good. And he has the money in the bank. He has been saving for that reason. But he woke up in the morning and he felt don't. He was very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. And yet, on the outward, this is the best deal. Man, just go for it. And the guy is telling him, people want this land if you don't hurry up. So the guy, man, he looks at the land. He says, this is what I've always wanted. Now, this house, I will just spend this amount of money, make it habitable, and I'll be, basically, this is my deal. Then he said he went to the bank. Now, this is a Kano person. Guaranteed more Kano than any of you. He went to the bank, and he said it was as if he was stealing the money, yet it was his money. He felt bad, very uncomfortable. Then he said, you know what? He left, he had, you know, when you fill in those forms for withdrawal, then you what? Then you say, then you just do the thing like this and throw it inside. So he called the guy and said, I'm not no longer interested in the land. You sell it to whoever wants. And now the interesting thing is, he said, as soon as he said that, he felt peace inside him. Peace and calm. Then he said, he's supposed to be feeling bad. He has missed out on a piece of land, but he felt peace and calm. So anyway, and God, because he's trying to train you, shows you later on. Now one day he's there. Then he meets somebody who bought the land. And the person says, he's in court. The person who was selling the land was not the owner, why it was a brother who was abroad, some rubbish. Basically, you'd also be in court. Now you've saved your money, then you end up in court. I know what courts are. Eh? So now if he had bought it, he would know when he goes to court, he would know the Lord warned me. You see, but thankfully he listened. But if he hadn't, he would you enter into a tight spot, and you know, I was warned. And you anyway, praise the Lord. Now, by the way, let me tell you, you cannot get into trouble as a believer unless God has warned you at least 3 times. You just have to refuse it. Okay, the wise men were, there's some guy I know in the village. Now, this okay is so funny. Now, the guy said he was walking one day in the bush and he felt like, you know, easing himself. So now he went inside deeper in the bush. Then he said he felt, don't do it. Like he felt something inside him, don't. Like he said, he's going and he's feeling almost a force note. Man, a snake came and stung his, you know what? Hey, but he survived. But as soon as he had just taken out his whatever, praise the Lord. Now, anyway, but now you see, this is someone who is even not born again. But somehow God, let me tell you, somehow he'll warn you. Amen? Do you agree with me? Now, that shows that there is at least pulse inside you. So now when you're under attack, the first thing that happens is the devil takes away your sensitivity, your connection. And now some of you start dreaming when you've lost your phone. You've left your phone somewhere. And some of you have had those dreams, okay? Where somebody says, I dreamt when I went somewhere, then I left my phone there. Now that means that you went in a place which was fake and they cut off your connection. Now that's the first target of the devil. Because even if you're at the lowest of the low, as long as God can still get through to you, you are going to come out. So what the devil wants to do is to first disconnect you. Okay? And that's what he did with what? With Samson. As soon as they captured Samson, they take out the eyes. The minute they get him, they take out the eyes. Now, that's how the devil has always been. There's the first, and the eyes, of course, symbolic of your vision. You see, eh? Now, Judges 16, 16. It says, Judges 16, verse 16. It says that, and it came to pass when she pestered him. This is Delilah. We don't have time to go through the whole story. But Delilah pestered him. Please tell me the secret of your strength. Please tell me the secret of your strength. Now, I want you to know that the scripture says that the Antichrist will wear out the saints. He seeks, it says it seeks to wear out the saints. Okay? Now, wearing you out means he comes You refuse, it keeps on coming, keeps on coming, keeps on coming. The purpose is to wear you out. Now, the minute he gets like a weakness, the first thing you do is take out your eyes. Then you are no longer dreaming, you are no longer seeing things, you are no longer having visions. You've taken a while without seeing, without hearing from God. And you are like Samson, your eyes are out. Okay? Now it says that it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. Now, let me tell you, like you can come almost to this place where your soul is vexed, like something is on you, on you, on you, on you, on you. And now usually, when you don't know how to talk, if you don't know how to speak, when there is pressure to do something on a certain direction, if you don't know how to speak against it, and you just let the pressure come to you, eventually you can get vexed. And then you find somebody, and they just go tired of fighting. Okay? Some of them actually, even what? Can choose to die. I was listening to a story of some guy who, because you see, we're in a fight, whether you like it or not. So some guy was sick and was like, you know, deathbed and what. Then the wife refused to let him go. She said he's not going to be die. He's not going to die. What? So he started getting well. He started getting well. He had all sorts of issues. He got back. He came back to even started driving again, even went back to work. This is somebody who was on the deathbed. Then, at some stage, when everybody knew a miracle has happened, the guy has been healed, almost 90% healed. The guy just woke up one day and died. So everybody was saying, how can somebody come for me and come close to, very close to perfect health and then they die? But then, he had written something in his diary. And his wife read it at the funeral. He was in his 70s. So he said that, I'm tired of fighting. I know I'm going to get healed. But I'm tired of fighting. Let me just die and go and be with the Lord. You know, he's born again. He knows, man, I'm tired. Let me just go and be with the Lord. Like, what am I still doing here? You know, you're 70s. Your children are grown. What? And he said, if I tell people, they will not believe me. They'll say, no, continue fighting. But you said, me, I'm tired. So he just gave up one day and he died. Now, don't give up and die. Amen. Point is that we are involved in a fight, whether you like it or not. So you have to like completely stick it there, stick it out there. Until and not just in that case. Anyway, and it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him. You know, the devil can come and say, you're sick, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're sick, you're going to die, you're going to die. Then you say, no, I'm healed, I am healed, I am healed. Then you start seeing the healing. Then I'm healed, I'm healed. But he's not going to stop, for him is a spirit. He has all the time in the world. So he's going to continue. Even when you're healed, he's going to try to, even when you're completely now healed and even they've declared you totally healed, he will come back still and try to shake you a bit to see if you're steady. So you have to be able, you have to be in a position where I am ready to fight back at last. You see, eh? And then eventually you get full victory. Now he said, so now this woman pestered Samson. He lied to her once, two, three, four, three times. No, this is the secret. Right? He was lying to her. And she kept on pestering. Now remember, they had promised her that they are going to give her money. 11,000 pieces of silver. Each of the elders, the five elders of the Philistines. If you can help us get his secret. So for her, she's working for money. For him, he's in love. Praise the Lord. Man, eh? The number of people who have been defeated by women in the scripture and in the modern contemporary times. Praise the Lord. Deliver us from what? Anyway, that's a joke. That's pure a joke. Now, so she pressed on him, that his soul was vexed to death. That he told her his heart and said to her, no razor has come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I will become weak and be like any other man. Notice here in this scripture that Samson, the devil, wants Samson to be like any other man. You see, eh? Now there is something about Samson which is the spirit of God. And now the Philistines know that as long as he has it, there is nothing they can do to him. They find him sleeping and then he shakes himself over and goes, They find him when they surround the city that they are waiting for him in the morning when he's leaving. Then at midnight, he just comes and pulls out the gates of the city and goes and throws them the other side. And then they flee for their lives. So now, they find, how can we make him like any other man? Praise the Lord. Now let me tell you, like the devil wants to make you like any other man. Amen? And you are not like any other man. And you have something which works on you. And now, he will come and try to target that thing which makes you unique. Totally unique. That you can stand up and do things and somehow you stand out. So he wants to show you that you are not all that. You are like any other man. The purpose of this, he says, we shall know what is the secret of his strength. So that he becomes like any other man. Amen? So, then he said, when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, said, come once more, for he has told me all his heart. So all the lords of the Philistines came to her and brought the money in their hand. Praise the Lord. Now, if you don't know that the devil is willing to pay money to make you ordinary, he's willing to pay money that you become ordinary. And I can tell you, I've seen this. So, like, how much would you? So we just want you to be like any other man. But you see, you are not, because the finger of God is on you. It says, so they came with their money, the money in their hand, to Delilah. Okay? Now, when she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Go ahead. And she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Go ahead. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes. First order of business. As soon as they get you, they put out your eyes. Now let me tell you, there's somebody who came to me, a friend of mine, whom I've known. Actually, he's a guy even who, like, I've known him for so long. So he came and told me that he went to a certain fake apostle. And he said, the minute I shook his hands, that was the last time I dreamt. I used to have powerful dreams and powerful dreams. And you go and shake somebody's hands. And then he said, after that, I stopped having any dream. And guess what had happened? They had taken out his eyes. I told him, can't you see? So now, you see, I'm also very cautious about telling people certain things. Because I want to tell him, isn't the evidence? The proof is in the pudding. You used to dream, you used to have visions. Now you go and hold somebody's eye and they vanish completely. There's even some guy who came here and started staying with us here, pretending he had nowhere to sleep and what. But now how people got to know about him, the minute he came, everybody stopped dreaming. Then when he went, dreams came back. Now, there are certain things where even places you go, you can wake up one day and you go to a place. Now, you have to know that you don't force it, because the people who are in those places stopped dreaming a long time ago. But they say, we have the word. We have the word. You see, Jesus taught more than he prophesied. So we have the word. Bullshit. Bull what? Shit. They have taken out your eyes and you're there just repeating things. Hey, for us, Richie, our apostle, what? Your eyes are out. You're being made to grind. Let me tell you, the minute even somebody comes near you and even becomes, and you realize that you be careful. You know that this, something is wrong here. How come when this person came, I stopped what? At the very least, dreaming. Praise the Lord. Because that is where the parousia is. That's where God wants to. Like, the word of God is a guide for us. But you cannot run a relationship based on a written word. Amen? Imagine if I got married and we put out rules of the marriage. That this is how we are going to run our marriage. So my wife and I don't talk. Because they ask, if you have anything to say, check the other rule. No. There has to be communication now. There has to be communication now. The rules are important. I mean, the Bible, the scripture is important for our guidance and, of course, for the written word. But it is so important that God speaks to us on a day-to-day basis and guides us. Now, even if you are in the lowest place, as long as your eyes are still in and you can still see, there is hope for you. Amen? Like, by the way, as long as you can still have at least have a dream, which is spiritual. And now let me also tell you this. People, if you have a dream, go and pray with it. If you don't know what it means, don't go and start looking for people to interpret it for you. Because sometimes, at the beginning, I used to have very easy dreams to interpret. But now, I have very cryptic dreams, very, very cryptic dreams, where I have to pray in tongues, thinking about the dream for 30 minutes, then it becomes clear. And when it becomes clear, I know this is what, I'm not gambling, I know this is what it meant. But at the beginning, I said, what is the meaning of this? I saw this, I saw the other, I saw the other. It looks like all sorts of things. Now, I just get the dream and start going through it in my mind as I pray in tongues. Because you see now, that's, you're keeping the signals alive. Anyway, so that was just a nyongeza. So number one, the vision. Make sure you have vision. If your vision is gone, you're under attack. You're under serious attack, by the way. You can even pray. Don't think those people don't pray. They pray. But you pray and no vision. You know, that time when we had this guy here, there's some fake prophet here who had jaws like a crocodile. Who had been sent by, you know, those guys. But I'm not lying. That's how he looked. It's okay to describe somebody. So if you have a big stomach, you're not abusing. But if you say Ronald has a big stomach, you're abusing him because he does it. You see? Now, anyway, so you're just describing me. That guy who has a big what? Anyway. That guy who had jaws like a crocodile. He came here. Then one of our ministers here, who was here at the time, told me, I don't know what happened. I'm no longer dreaming. I don't dream. And he used to have very, very powerful dreams. He would share most many of them with me. And they would be very, very powerful. Suddenly, they all dried up. See? And because this guy had come and he was giving him fake visions, I saw, but what? Then this what? This came here like this. And he went with some of us. And you see, some of you don't trust us. I tell you, the guy is a demoniac. You say, no, but he had good visions. You go with him. He hammered so many people here, by the way. So many people. Anyway. But if you can't trust me, then you have no business being here. If I tell you somebody is a demoniac, because even there are those whom I know who are demoniacs, so I don't even say. So by the time I say, and some are even here whom I know are demoniacs, but I keep quiet. Praise the Lord. There are some I know, this, I can pick out one person here whom I know is a demoniac. But he comes every Friday. Praise the Lord. Anyway, that is like what? Nyongeza. So, now, the other thing is that when you're under attack, your purpose becomes vague and vague and vague. You know, when you're on fire, you know, like real fire, the one you seem to know exactly where you're going, okay, and you know everything about where you're like you're not seeing it, so you're not sure how it's going to happen, but somehow when you pray you see it, and you have an ability to go and be in that time you're in prayer, you actually feel you're there, okay. You only doubt when you come out of prayer. Now, that's very important. Because as long as you keep it in prayer, it will eventually come to pass. Praise the Lord. So you just have to hold on to that commandment generously. And say, okay, outside, when I walk outside, I feel broke. But somehow when I'm praying, I feel rich. It's okay. It's just a matter of time. What is there is going to expand and invade every part of your life. And invade this outside life. But you see now, if the devil can come and first hammer it there and where you're praying from And you also start seeing brokenness where you're praying from. There's no hope for you. Anyway, so now your vision becomes clear. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of a just man is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Now, the morning sun shines brighter, brighter. So you start in the morning when the sun is not so, you know. And then by midday it has become all its glory. Now that's how your purpose is supposed to be. You start slowly. You start eating what's in front of you. Slowly, slowly, slowly. Then eventually it opens up clearer and clearer and clearer until you're under attack. Then now what was clear becomes dimmer and dimmer, and it's like the sun going backwards. Okay? Back to, early morning and back to 6 a.m. and then back to night. Like it works the opposite direction. Now, when you wake up and your purpose is very, very clear and you're not in doubt whatsoever what you're supposed to do, you know that you're on the cutting edge. If not, you're under attack. Now, another interesting thing which you have to know about when you're under attack is, now this is almost an oxymoron. Because if you are under attack spiritually, you don't have outward attacks. You understand? The devil does not want to come out. So when you see there's too much tranquility in your life, you know there's something wrong. He has a foothold. Because if a plane is ascending, there has to be turbulence. Have you ever flown in a plane and it goes up into the skies and there's no turbulence? There has to be turbulence. So if there's none, you know that there's something wrong. Somehow you're quiet, life is okay, nobody seems to be attacking you. What? Now that there you be very careful, because it means he has his foot inside you, somewhere, and he's doing his damage quietly. Now the day you get rid of him around you here, then you'll see attacks happening outwardly. People attacking you, you start seeing demonic creatures and what, then you say, now I've defeated the guy. The other day, I was getting a bit concerned about something, until my wife had a dream when people had sacrificed a child so that they attack a certain part of my body. Then I woke up happy. I said, hey, okay. So that shows that I've hammered the guy. Because you see, if there is quietness, you can't just be there and life is quiet. You see, eh? Hey, because, imagine. By the way, I will even tell you this even in my politics. When I had a spy next to me, they never disturbed me because they knew everything I was doing. When you get rid of him, that's when they start, you know, because now they're uncomfortable. They don't know what you're doing. So that's how the devil operates. His masters here, why in State House, do the same thing. Amanya is his servant. Do the same thing. They have to have. So now when you see you're doing things, nobody is disturbing you. You go someplace, they are not touching you. You go someplace, you say, why is everybody like comfortable with it? You know? Then you start wondering who around me here is with the enemy. You understand? Because if the enemy has somebody next to you, he's not going to disturb you. He will keep quiet. Because he does not want you to stand up and fight. Because when you fight, you defeat him. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now when you start waking up one day and you're seeing dreams of people, what, this, that, this, all these things, and it usually happen when you're actually in a process of ascending spiritually, you know that that's okay. That's fine. The devil is shaken. That is the turbulence that I have to go through when I'm what? Ascending. And then you even start having dreams when you're flying. You're walking somewhere, then things come to attack you, then you fly. Now that's ascending. Okay? Although some people will tell you that's witchcraft. There is a lot of dream interpretation out there, which is so fake. Very, very fake. I've heard people on radio saying, if you dream this, it means this. No, it doesn't. First of all, there is no dream. This means this. It's not there. Like, dreams are a personal relationship between God and his children. So there has to be something which is unique between you and him. Anyway, because somebody will say, if you dream cats, it means this. But some people love cats. And God will bring a cat in your life to show you something good. Because you love them. But now if I dream a cat, I say, what's this? Because I don't like them. You see, Now, this is personal. So if somebody, because there are people who actually love cats. So now, if somebody says, Borota kapa, rubbish. It can mean that, it may mean that, but you have to understand the context of the dream. Anyway, so when there are no outward attacks and not everything around you is perfect, you know that you're in serious trouble. Praise the Lord. When you're under attack, you have a general apathy and disinterest towards spiritual things. What was once an interesting thing starts becoming something you have to do. Like, and you become apathetic. Okay? And even the commandments of God are, you know, a bit difficult. And you are not looking out for leading, for the leading. When you're on the cutting edge, you're always on the lookout for what's the Lord leading you to do. Somehow you seem to. And you're sharp when he says, you know, you can hear it because you're ready. You know, you are like a soldier who is ready to listen to command. Now imagine a soldier who has lost his communication away from the command post. Now people don't understand how that works even in warfare. Remember what Israel did what are those pagers of those Hezbollah people? They went and but those guys, man, the mission over took how many years? Where they went and manufactured pagers from another country, which were manufactured by Israel, and they put in their casing, and then they went and supplied them to all the Hezbollah commanders. Then at the right time, those things take years to do. At the right time, they just detonated all of them and blew them all up. So a few people died, but that wasn't the purpose of it. The purpose of blowing it up is now those people had no way of communicating amongst each other. So, there was no command. Nobody would tell the people, now we kusong and what. So, they disagreed because they were scared of phones. They told them phones are even worse than pagers. So, imagine somebody says, you're scared of phones, you're scared of pagers, you're scared of everything. So, now how are you going to give command to your people in the field? So, just by doing that, they hammered their confidence and they defeated Hezbollah, just fear. Now, when you're not receiving commands from the command post of the Spirit of God, you are very, very vulnerable. By the way, you are very vulnerable. You can be swayed in any direction. Praise the Lord. Anyway, generally speaking, I'll tell you this. When you're rising in the Spirit, as some of you should aspire to, one of the things that happens is you start loving solitude. You start loving being alone. And you can be there and be alone. And not even on phone or sometimes even maybe, but you do, you know. But just being alone. And it does not torment you that you are alone. Now, usually that's a sign that you are ascending in the Spirit. Because people who are like whatever, they cannot stand being with themselves even for 1 hour. Just you and yourself. You can't stand your own company. So, if you are to sit somewhere like this, and you've seen these young people who are like that, you know, teenager. For instance, if you go to places where it's difficult for people to get, now, but these days it changed. But those days when you're in a plane, you can't use your phone and what, then you see young people fidgeting. Because their hands are itching. So somebody enters the plane, then he's fidgeting, then what? Then, you know, then he pulls out magazines, then does what? Then starts doing those flight things, the TV, what? You see he's very uncomfortable just being himself. Now, then for you, you can sit there and say, now this is the time for me to actually chill. Now I have some hours here, so I can just chill. So you just be there and look and think about so many things. And a lot of things come to you, by the way, in that place when you are just you and yourself. But now, the way the world has trained people to be very fidgety when they don't have a gadget around them or something to take their attention. So they can't stand their own company. No. So solitude is one of them. Then you are very sensitive in the spirit. Then also, you remember all your dreams when you're on cutting edge. When you start forgetting your dreams, you know that you're getting off the cutting edge. You dream, you forget. You dream, you forget. You dream, you forget. You know you're getting off the cutting edge. When you're on cutting edge, your dreams are very easy to remember. Very easy. You dream it, it's fresh. You can even see the colors. In the dream, you can see if the people were meant to be seen. You can see colors. The entirety of the dream is very clear in your eyes. After you've woken up, then you know that, you know, you're on cutting edge. Then by contrast, at some stage, your dreams are distant. You dream and you remember, I dreamt something about this. What is it? Then you move on. Praise the Lord. And when you're ascending, as I told you when we were beginning, you are perpetually in thanksgiving and in praise. Perpetually. By the way, perpetually, regardless of what your situation is, you're in thanksgiving and in praise. Now, by contrast, when you're going down, going down, going down, going down, you have what is called spiritual fatigue. Like things of the spirit just, man, bikukoya. This and the real spiritual fatigue. And actually, it's some sort of apathy. You become apathetic towards them. Somebody comes and I've seen people who are like that. You come and tell him something which is of great significance in the spirit. And he says, hey, okay. But you see, there is this thing. Like you see, he has no interest whatsoever. None. So, and now, previously, it used to bother me. I remember the first time I went and I just attended a fellowship and I was so excited about the things I'd seen and heard. Then I left the fellowship and I was with some person and I was thinking he was just as excited as I was. He was not. He asked me a question which showed me that people can really fall from grace. After the fellowship, where great things happened, great things happened, he asked me when we had just left, that how much money do you think they collect in this place? I was in complete shock. I looked at him. I said, why? Then he said, this place is expensive. And these people seem to be having money. I said, you can really be on a totally different wavelength with somebody. When he said that, that's when I realized this person who shall never, ever, ever collide whatsoever. So when somebody does that, you just leave them alone. Paul says these are men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of financial gain. Then he says, flee from such men. Now you see, people you see, they're like, then eventually the gospel becomes all about money, money, money. It's that simple. They take out your eyes and you no longer have any direct command from the command center. Okay? And then even the uses wranglings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. That's exactly what I did. I withdrew myself from him and knew this one is not my kind of person. So then I moved on. Praise the Lord. And I've not seen him in so many years. Every time I would see him, he would come asking for money. So, 1 John, and even the commandments of God, when you get apathy, even doing the things of God, even the commandments of God, become 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. It says, in fact, this is love. This is love for God, to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. There's one thing keeping them. But he says, if you love him, the commandments are not burdensome. You keep them with joy. Okay? Because it's a small line from coming, keeping them with joy to burdensome. Where now you're like, ah, man, now I have to do this. Amen? And that's the first love. Remember what talked about the Ephesian church in Revelation chapter what? Chapter 2, the church in Ephesians, who had lost their first love. How does somebody lose their first love? Slowly. And by the way, the devil has done a work in you. Very powerful work. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that there are people who he's not going to take away from Christ. But he's going to take away the joy and what, and you know, like they will be there. That makes them ineffective. Eh? that you have left your first love. Okay? Start from verse 1. He says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and have found them liars. Now imagine somebody who is like that. I know your labor, your work. You're doing everything right. It's all good. You even know those who are false teachers. And you've tested them and found them liars. So now, like up until that stage, everything is good. And like, you know, it's all good. Then he goes ahead to say, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Now, this is a very good CV until the whatever. So now somebody is persevering and doing what and what. But then he goes on to say, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You're doing it without love. You're doing it without joy. Amen? Go ahead. It says, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Now imagine you've labored, you've persevered, you've done what? Then he says, you have no love. You're doing it just out of, you know. And by the way, I saw the church going through that phase, where people were so, you know, and what happened, what characterizes them is the perseverance and all those things which this Jesus said, and they are looking out for those who are false teachers and what and so on. I saw the church going through that period around the 90s, and people were, you know, then people would go and pray the whole night, and but then you see the praying is so physical. There is no connection whatsoever. And I used to see it because we used to go to a place, there's a church I used to go to where we'd pray Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And it was a powerful prayer. But some people you would see this, but you know, others you could see they are doing it because it's part of the routine. On Monday we have a night prayer, Wednesday we have a night prayer, Friday. And it's, you're going through routine. But the love, that love. Now, when that love goes away, by the way, so many things, eventually those people fall off. Because you can't do something for which you have no love. Okay? Even if it was a relationship. If somebody is persevering, what? You know, eh? You imagine if your husband tells you, I'm persevering to be your husband. You know that something is not right. Very soon you'll come and what? They will remove the lampstand. Because it's not meant I'm supposed to be persevering. Eh? He says, okay, I'm persevering to even what? Provide for you. I'm persevering to do this. Then the wife says, yeah, that's okay. So I'm persevering to, you know, to go for you. Now, that's no basis. But you see, some of us want to run our relationship with the Lord on that basis. Eh? So his commandments are not burdensome, he says. Then, when you're on your way down and you're losing your sensitivity, one thing is you become very opinionated about everything. Have you ever seen people have an opinion on everything? Eh? Yeah, yakoze mwesobi. Zembade ngamba. Yeah, because and everything, not that there is an area in which they are an expert. Everything, they have an opinion. Now, when you start ascending a bit, somebody will come and tell you even a dream, and you know what it means. And you look at them and say, I'm not so sure I know what it means. Now you say that's a lie, but I'm not going to tell you something which I'm not going to receive. Eh? Amen? Hey, there's some guy, who used to lend me his car. And I had no car at the time. So he used to lend me his car. But he was a nice guy and what, so you know. But then one day I had a clear dream in which he was supposed to give me the car. He had like two other cars. And he was saying there was a promotion at work which he wanted. So, and the dream was saying he's supposed to give me the car. Now you think I could tell him? No. I would lose his friendship. Because I knew. There are very few people whom I can tell. Maybe like one or two. Whom I, you know, they will trust that I, you know, I'm not trying to be funny. So anyway, I didn't tell him. Then he had a dream saying exactly what my dream was saying. Then he came to me and told me, I had this dream, what? You know, there's this car, then I, what, then what? I was in the dream, then what? Then I said, I don't know what it means. Then he went to somebody else. And now the other person, for him, he told him, said, but we told about, he even explained to him, you know, when dreams, when somebody is a child, the dreams are very easy to explain. Don't you see, even this, this, that, that? So, if you want to get your promotion, you just give him the car. Then he looked at the guy like this and said, that's not what it means. Now, he had already decided to sell the car. So, eventually sold it. But now, imagine if I told him. Because, by the way, their relationship with the other guy ended completely. Completely. They became completely at loggerheads because of that. Now, why would I tell you? Because usually, if you want to know, you will know. Amen? So now, anyway, what was I saying? That he's what? People become very opinionated when everything they want to have a say. What did you dream? No, I think it means this. What have you achieved? What? Now, the scripture says, those who are spiritual can judge everything, but they are judged by no one. Now, the more you become spiritual, you can look at, you know, you look at people doing things and you actually know they are making a mistake, but you just let them be. Because it's not your place. Because if you start trying to poke your nose everywhere, you are going to get into serious trouble. And you will not be received. And you'll be giving your precious things what? Swine. They will not receive. The scripture says they will reject it and then they turn on you. That's what happened with this guy. He gave him the exact, and told him, didn't you see this? This. Yeah. So this is what it means. Then the guy even first looked at him and thought for a while. They said, no, you're lying. Reminds me of a story in the book of Jeremiah. Very interesting story. That when Nebuchadnezzar had attacked Judah and dispersed those people and what, and then a few people were left. So they went to Jeremiah now, because they knew he had prophesied this is going to happen, so now they were receiving him as a prophet. So they went to Jeremiah and told him that, now what do we do, those of us who are here, who have not been carried away to Babylon? Go and inquire of the Lord your God for us, so that we know what we should do. Should we go to Egypt or should we stay here? Then Jeremiah went and inquired of the Lord. And the Lord told him, go and tell those people, let them not go to Egypt. The king of Babylon will not come back here. I will look after them here and they will grow here, but let them not go to Egypt. Jeremiah called all the elders and told them, you sent me to inquire of the Lord. And this is what the Lord has told me. Don't go to Egypt. Then what they told him? They told him, the Lord has not told you. Nebuchadnezzar has told you to lie to us so that he comes and kills us. Now, then he said, okay, you go. They went to Egypt and they were all killed from there. Now, when people have decided some things, the man went and spent 3 days. Okay, since you've gotten it, the Lord has said concerning you, remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. No, certainly that I have admonished you this day. Okay? For you were hypocrites in your hearts when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord our God concerning all that the Lord has said. So declare to us and we'll do it. And I have this day declared to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God or anything which he has said. Okay, this is a bit after. If you as well, they said, the Lord has not sent you. Somebody sent you to mess us up. and then they went to Egypt and they all died. Anyway, that is. But people who are become very highly opinionated. Proverbs 14:14 says, let's leave this. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart is full of his own ways. Man, there is nothing that shows that somebody is a backslider in heart more than being full of his own ways. The backslider in heart is filled, will be filled with his own ways. But a good man will be satisfied from above. So a good man is looking for what God says. Now the backslider in heart has an opinion on everything. No one's ever done this. I went. And then, I know people who are like that. Like even he starts telling this, you even start telling the story halfway, he's already giving curse. You haven't even started. You haven't even come to the punchline where the story ends. You know, many run a chair and goes, "Young ambie, ginda kora word, agenda kora word, ne wati." Ah, wakoze nsobi. Tewari udiza Ronald. I'm still telling you. Ndia, ah. Now, backslider in heart, like they have an opinion on everything. And it is upfront, everything. And whether at work, what. But let me tell you, you can, you see people, what, like, they sit there, stand there, and people are saying things, what? And people who are on their way down are very wordy. Too wordy. You even go to a gym, you're the one who is leading the conversation after 5 minutes. You're a new member. Like, you can't keep quiet. Now, on the other hand, somebody will come quietly, walk out, go. Then there's later. First word you'll hear from him will be like after 3 months. Then there's later, Ronald. As soon as he comes, you people, no, that's not how they do push-ups. This is not, have you seen people like that? Like, they are full of their, like, they can't keep quiet. They can't just, now, elsewhere, somebody will come, keep quiet, do his thing. And you've seen people like that. They might not necessarily be spiritual, but they are contemplative people. They are not easy. Now, when you, watch madness says, I know words, leak power. Leak power. So you can't be talking. And what? And can I tell you, come, can you get a story here? But you people with your rugambo. So my brother told me that there was some place they were working. So this guy was working under in ministry, in some of this government ministry. So this guy is working under some lady, Muganda lady. So she's not putting him in the deals. You know, this ministry is about deals. So they are doing deals. She's keeping him out. What? The guy is broke. And everybody around him is what? Is thriving. So the guy is squeezed. Then, as fate would have it, the lady was, his boss was transferred to another ministry. And they brought another man. Now a Munyankore man. And this guy is also a Munyankore. So they brought a Munyankore man. And the man came and took office. So this guy went and told the new boss that, hey man, I'm glad that what? That you're here. Because that lady was squeezing me. That lady squeezed me. Then the guy looks and says, hey, how did she squeeze you? I can imagine she used to do this and this. Then the guy gets on the phone and starts calling. Eh? And says, no, tell me. Can you imagine she used to do this and this and that and that and that? So he starts relating everything that the other woman did. Then this guy, now he's talking to the other woman. Now she has already been hearing part of the conversation. Then he says, hey, this guy here is saying you are squeezing him very badly. What? The guy said, you man, I was telling you as what? Why have you telling? Within a short time, his reputation had gone around the ministry. And they called him, his boss called him and told him, we are told you are talking. You're a talker. You are talking everywhere. Talking. Huh? Like you're busy talking. So now the guy says, no. Then he goes, you're busy talking. So after 1 week, you think they are forgotten. Then you go and find them in the corridor. Your boss, he says, eh? So are you still talking? Eh? That I'm told even in toilets, you're talking. Even in the bathroom, you're talking. You talk too much. Eventually, they transferred the man. You know, in government, they can't fire you. So they transferred him to Arua. Because he's talking. Talking. Now, after some time, this guy is a mafia complex. Now, after some time, he said after 3 years, he went back to the ministry just to see his old friends. Then he met the boss. After 3 years, the boss said, hey, you man, are you still talking? The man said, these guys, man, they never forgive. So you're still talking. You talk too much. Are you still talking? Now, anyway, how did I get there? And you're the one who what? You're the one who pushed me, but I'm almost finishing. So anyway, people who are actually on their way, they become very groupy. Mm. You can even call people whom you left a long time ago. And God says, eh, but I ain't got more. Now you left them when you're on your way up. Now you're calling them on your way down. Praise the Lord. Because every time you go up, there are people whom you cut yourself off. That's inevitable, isn't it? Now, after some time when you start going down, you start calling them. Hey, Gundinga Wabura, what? We should link up. What? Link up. And even them are looking at you saying link up and what? Then you start pursuing them. Where do you people hang out today? What? You're on your way down. Praise the Lord. What the groupie you're talking. But imagine after 3 years, they still remember. So are you still talking? You know. So, and people, you become, I'm finishing in a short while. You become very irritable. Have you ever seen people who are very easy to irritate? Something small, you blow it off. Now, when you're spiritual, by the way, the things which irritate you become very, very few. Very few. Very few. You somehow, you can detach, you're so totally detached from everything in a way that you can just detach from what somebody does something, somebody puts you down, and so on, and you're not moved by it. I remember somebody who came and, anyway, like, and somebody I was with thought I should be offended because they were telling me, you know? But, like, somebody had bought a very powerful car. So he came and was showing me the car. He bought this car. And what I said, hey, okay, let me sit in. He said, be careful. Don't touch here. Don't touch here. You know, these cars are not like your what? Be careful. So I said, hey, okay. Hey, it's a very wonderful car. Very nice car. Now, if you had found me 10 years ago, I'll tell him, did I tell you to bring your car here? Take your car and get out of here. You think I don't have a car of my own? And then that becomes a quarrel. But now, it was said in a very condescending way, as if you guys, you know, be careful, because if you what? Don't step on the accelerator. The car might move. What would it do? And by the way, I was supposed to be offended, but I was amused. Now, if that fight is like, you can be thoroughly offended. But now there is no point. Anyway, my point is, the flesh, when your spirit becomes sensitive, your flesh becomes desensitive. You understand? You're more sensitive to spiritual things. Fleshly things don't annoy you. Somebody puts you down, talks to you, you know, in a very disrespectful way, and it doesn't bother you whatsoever. But now when you things in the spirit are more sensitive, you're looking out for, you know, something like that. Okay? So finally, as we finish, have you learned something today? So, number one, make sure they don't take out your eyes. If you go to a place and you used to dream and you stop dreaming, leave, run for your life. Your eyes have been taken out. Amen? And I'm talking about dreaming because everybody dreams. Everybody who has a spirit dreams. I'm not talking about hearing the voice of God. Some of you will be confused. But dreaming is the most basic. Although it's very powerful. And I know people who try to belittle it and say, dreams, you drank a lot of bongo and ate what? Cassava, and then you dream. That's rubbish. Okay? If you take out dreams, you take out a third of the Bible. Joseph is out. Daniel is out. So dreams are very powerful. And a very powerful means by which God deals, talks to his people. Praise the Lord. So now, if you go somewhere and you realize, this person came here and somehow I stopped. Now, like that guy said, he came and told me himself. That guy came and held his hand and greeted him and the dreams vanished. Completely nothing. He said 2 years. I haven't had a single dream. So I said, but isn't that obvious? You know, so when people are not spiritually sharp, like you can say, the answer is there. but he was not seeing it. What do you think is the problem? I said, but you have told me yourself the problem is somebody held your hand and you can't dream. And now you're asking me the problem. But you see, they somehow they don't see. And you see, when you don't see, you don't see. Reminds me of Joyce Meyer when she was saying that she was quarreling to God about her husband. My husband does this, my husband does this. My... Then God told her, your husband is not the problem. They said, if he's not, then who is? She cannot see that. She had no idea that she can be the problem. You see, when you're so... So there's just two of us. So if he's not the problem, then who is? Your eyes have been closed. You don't know that you can also be a problem. Then it takes you a while for God to say, no, you are the problem. Say, me? The problem? Okay. But you see, you're convinced. Now, when somebody has decided not to see something, they will not see it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you seeing something? Eh? Make sure you're always seeing something. Make sure you're always seeing something. Always. Don't force it. But when it's not there, you know it. You're in trouble. Don't let the devil take out your eyes. Because he knows your hair can grow back, but you don't have eyes. He doesn't trust. If the devil can hammer you and you go off, as long as you're still hearing the voice of God, you'll come back. God will bring you back. If Samson still had his eyes, he would come back and be a problem. So the minute they get him properly, now we are safe. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, I finished preaching. When is Holy Communion? Next Friday is what date? What's the date today? 20th. So it's the other Friday. Amen. So is there anybody who was healed last time? Of those we prayed for? Is anybody who is sick now? Anybody sick? Come. Weren't you the one we prayed for? She's not the one. What are you sick of? If it is not private. It's private. So now we are going to pray for her. All of us. As always. As we usually do. Just point your hands towards her. And speak health and wholeness. What's your name? Ruth. Speak health and wholeness towards Ruth in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, the hand of God touches you, Ruth, in Jesus' name. And you're whole in the name of Jesus. Give me your hand. You're healed in Jesus' name. The hand of God touches you. And I rebuke that sickness. I rebuke that sickness from its root in the name of Jesus. From its root in Jesus' name. And I decree that it is well with you. The healing power of God touches you. I command that sickness to come out of your body right now. You sickness, I command you in the name of Jesus. Come out of Ruthie's body right now. Right now, be gone in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Even your child, it is well with your child. But in the name of Jesus, and a change of heart, I want all of you to point your right hand towards her, towards Ruth, and we pray for her child. for an unborn child. And in the name of Jesus, the hand of God touches that child in Jesus' name and turns around the story. The story of that child is turned around in the name of Jesus. And now the child turns out perfectly normal and healthy in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. All of you agree with us that her child comes out perfectly normal and healthy, and the report from the doctors will be different the next time you go there. Will be different next time you go there. Now, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because you save his life and he will go the full term normally in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Do you know the agenda? Okay. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Just continue putting and praying tongues. Sekile moro zotoro shalamarazin tarosho, rubo zotoro shakramazin torosho, rikamazin torosho, umuzo torosho, rikamazin torosho. A powerful life inside of you, a powerful life inside of you, and the enemy shall not take it and shall not tamper with it in the name of Jesus. It comes out normal and healthy in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Normal and healthy and normally in the normal birth. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Roko Bazantarasha. Continue praying in tongues. Sira Makasitoro Shoromo Brazo. Rezake Moshoromozo Torosha. Rigamazo Torosha Lamaraza Torosha. Rimazu Torosha Lamaraza Tarasha. Rimazu Torshila Makasantarasha. Rigamazo Torosha Lamazo Torosha. Rimazu Torosha Lamazo Torosha. Rimazu Torosha. Rimazu Torosha Lamazo Torosha. Continue praying in tongues. Amen. It is done. It is done in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Washman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.